MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Chatting now with Keith McLachlan from Integral Investment Managers. Keith, appreciate the early morning time. Mine streaming, I'd never heard of it. Sibanye Stillwater did a deal, was it late last year, early this year? And I remember then thinking this is quite cunning. Chatting with you last week, you're saying actually there's a lot more to mine streaming and it's a lot more popular. First question, what is the simple to understand definition of mine streaming or mining streaming?
Good morning, Simon. Perhaps because there's almost two types of streaming. There's things called royalty agreements, and then there's traditional streaming. Let's just put them in one basket. And the best way to think about them is they're financing agreements into mines. And unlike a traditional loan, that you'll write money into the mine, they'll use it to build the mine, and they'll pay you an interest rate back.
Yeah.
Streaming and royalty agreements are typically based on revenue or production. What I mean by that is, for example, you'll write a loan into a mine. You say, instead of paying me back, pay me 2% of your revenue, or allow me to buy 2% of your production at a significantly discounted cost. For example, 5% of spot price or something like that. So these sort of agreements, one, they fill the niche of specialized financing funding for mines. But two, the companies that lend into these mines based on these agreements effectively earn off the commodity, a combination of the commodity and the production of that mine.
And again, depends how it's structured. But if and I'm thinking gold, futures trading above 2,900 this morning, all-time high. If you had done this in a gold mine, depending how structured, the mine streamer, the sort of funder could be doing quite very well.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's really three broad ways to invest in commodities. One, you can buy the physical commodity. Two, you can buy the guy who mines the commodity. But then you've got production risk, you've got inflation risk, there's community risk, there's resource, there are all sorts of risks involved in that. And then three, you can buy the streamer. And the streamer, although they have production risk, there's no cost line item to them. There's no mining inflation,
and
things like that. And it allows them to earn a very high margin that they can actually compound. So they get compounding. See, if you earn a lump of iron ore, a lump of gold, you know, 1,000 years from now, it'll still be the same lump. But the streamers actually have compounding because they can take those cash flows and reinvest them to other streaming agreements and other mines and the like. And interesting enough, when you and this is something the listeners can all go and do, pull up long-term price charts for mining companies, their respective commodities.
Yeah.
And most mining companies underperform their respective commodities. You know, and most streaming companies operate in the precious metal space and have a large exposure to gold. And the biggest ones being Franco-Nevada, Wheaton Precious Metals. Go pull up their long-term price charts relative to the gold price. They are actually some of the few mining and commodity orientated stocks out there that outperform their respective commodities. So it really, really is an interesting and unique space. It doesn't come without risk.
There is,
like I said, you tie it into production risk here. Franco-Nevada, for example, had one of their big streaming agreements was Cobre Panama, that has effectively been nationalized in Panama. So they lose their production. I mean, they fight to get in the courts and the like. So you're tied into production risk, but you get the upside of the commodity without inflation risk and things like that. Streaming can be a very, very viable investment.
I take your point, and they can also sort of de-risk you to a degree in that a streamer, I imagine, would potentially have a number of different sort of processes, structures in place, and maybe between commodities, which you might not want, that's up to the investor, but they can de-risk it that way by striking deals with a couple of different mines.
Oh, definitely. I mean, first of all, the streaming and the big guys have actually quite diversified portfolios, diversified in terms of counterparty.
Yeah.
You want to deal with legitimate top-tier miners because remember, if you have production risk, you've got to be certain that these guys can get into production. So one, the diversified across mine. Two, diversified across counterparty. Three, diversified across geography. And although a lot of them are built out of the core gold and precious metal space, someone like, for example, Franco-Nevada, they've actually built an oil and gas component into their portfolio. And don't forget, over the last number of years, it's become harder and harder for example, oil, gas, coal companies to raise funding and financing to build mines. And the streamers have jumped into that space to fill the niche.
Yeah.
So they still weighted towards precious metals, and particularly gold, but there's certainly components in the portfolios popping up that aren't just that.
A last quick question. I mean, you've mentioned Franco-Nevada. They are trading in Toronto in Canadian dollars. I mean, we can invest into these streamers. They're not, I mean, some of them are probably back room, not very often seen, but we can, as investors, we can hunt these down, do our research and potentially invest.
Oh, absolutely. Franco-Nevada is listed in Canada. I also think it's listed in America. There's Wheaton Precious Metals. They've particularly been doing well recently.
Mm-hmm.
Royal Gold, Sandstone Gold, Asseco Gold Royalties. There's a range of them. And most of them are listed either in Canada, America, dotted around. But there's certainly very, very investable options. And what's particularly impressive, you know, for example, looking at Franco-Nevada,
yeah,
as a finance house, so as effectively a specialist lender in this space, they actually have a net cash balance sheet. So some of these companies are superbly run. They've got really fantastic, almost, and in many cases, life of mine or royalty agreements and streaming agreements. And their balance sheets look bulletproof. So there's some proper investable options in this space.
Yeah, and you're right. Franco-Nevada, primary listing in Canada, but also listed in the US. We'll leave it there. Keith McLachlan, Integral Asset Investment Managers, appreciate the early morning time. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.